What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
First, just congratulations to the Brewers.
Bye, bye, baseball! Long live Andrew Vaughn!
It's a very good baseball team.
Bouncer to short, fielded by Ortiz over the first. It's all over.
Boy, the Brewers wasted no time rubbing it in. They have a big L flag. Yeah, that hurts. That was unnecessary.
And now it's all over.
The Official Adventures Zone.
The Bears.
Are you ready for some soccer?
I feel manipulated. I feel toyed with. I was expecting like a long form, head in my hands, eyes welling up, Goodfellas treatment for the Cubs season, or at least the postseason. But then it was an abrupt turn. But it really does make all the sense in the world, because game on a double Monday right here.
Are you ready for some football?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Toy. And we've got a full boat show leading you into Monday Night Football. The Bears will visit the Commanders, and that's all we're going to talk about today. Alex is here. He's got his Bears hoodie on.
He really does. It's a good look. I like that logo.
Tanny has been waiting to launch that open since about, 10:30 Saturday night?
Sorry, your White Sox weren't playing.
Oh, you know what? That's enough out of you.
See, there it is again, folks. Yeah. You hear that? That's not me saying any of that. That's Matt Spiegel there.
Yeah, it's just
guy loves baseball so
Spiegel.
Much.
You own it. You wear it. You exude it. You are it. And here you
are. Tanny's not even wearing his Sox cap today.
No, there's no editorializing in that. That was just facts. There was nothing about the White Sox in there, but I'm happy to have you bring up the White Sox.
Oh, yeah, no. How do you feel on
so
long live Andrew Vaughn? How'd that one feel? Yeah.
Not good, actually. Actually not good.
Nobody I don't like does. That at all.
Nobody likes it. It's amazing.
It's one of those things where you get the meme, the Cub fan and the Sox fan shaking hands with the whole Andrew Vaughn thing.
Love you.
Stupid.
I was talking to a baseball.
Long live! Andrew Vaughn!
Yeah. I was talking to somebody yesterday about that series. They're like, hey, so they got a lot out of Andrew Vaughn, huh? Like, yeah, they did. Yeah, they really did.
They got more than anyone has gotten out of Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, or ever will. Or ever will. This is the moment. This is the moment of Andrew Vaughn's life and career. But anyway.
That was a classic, Tanny.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up the Sox, and you wonder why some of the response over the weekend with the L flag got, how could this happen? And then Spiegs brings up the White Sox. Music's still playing after the open. He takes a shot at the Sox.
Hey, you're open. Take shots. Left and right. It's in there, Tanny. You think you're so dispassionate, so emotionless.
I feel like it was really well done. Like, that's good stuff. Because here, I was like you. I was like, oh, we'll go back through all the stuff
all
in
the
open. And
all the drama and all the stuff.
Like, nope. Turn the page, bitches. It's football season.
Well, this is the thing about this football game tonight is that we've been so Cubs consumed, we didn't even turn the page. Like, we haven't even talked about the stuff that some people are like, oh, I can't believe I'm so done. Like, usually by Monday of a Monday night game, you're like, I'm so done with all these storylines. You and I have barely even scratched the surface on this one tonight.
We've talked a little bit about Tyreek, and we will again on today's show, but that's about it. Like, the matchup itself, we haven't really discussed.
It's the best running team in the NFL.
And on a night when you might be running it a lot.
Against a defense that has struggled mightily and is without Grady Jarrett again, but has two very important veterans back in TJ Edwards and Kyler Gordon.
Yep.
That side of the ball is fascinating for any number of reasons.
There's all the like ancillary storylines, too, of Caleb going back home again. The team going back to the scene of the crime. Tyreek week going back to that place.
Absolutely.
Again.
How about Ben against the team that beat the Lions and knocked them out of the playoffs last year? And oh, by the way,
they destroyed the
Lions. Them. And oh, by the way, the job that Ben was up for when they gave it to Dan Quinn instead. Cliff Kingsbury and his Bears no comment from last year.
I feel like that might be a guy who gets a couple of phone calls in the next couple of weeks, too. Cliff Kingsbury?
That soon?
You have an open job in college football?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking you thought you meant NFL.
No, no. No, maybe. But
maybe.
I think there will be people who interview him, but there are going to be a lot of jobs that are open. There's one that's open now. Uh-huh. There's going to be another one in Chapel Hill that's going to be open in a little bit.
There's also one other NFL job that opened. Little Tommy Callahan got fired in Nashville. He's going to have to go back out on the road and sell brake pads. It's not Tommy. What's his name? Brian Callahan.
He's got to fire. They fired his dad, too, I think.
That's the best.
I don't know.
I don't know. What if they didn't? His dad's assistant offensive line coach. Think they just fired Tommy?
I'm sure the dad just walked, too. Because he was only doing it because his son was there.
That'd be great if he's like, you know what, son?
I'm going to stick around.
I'm going to keep working. I don't know when my next job's coming. I'm having a pretty good time.
I'm just going to stick around. Before we are going to talk with Kurt Warner in a little bit. And we'll ask him what stupidity was going on in London yesterday.
Mm.
But and also we'll get his thoughts on what happens tonight between the Bears and the Commanders. But yeah, man, it was a disappointing finish to a really up and down season for the Cubs. And I know that if you just look at the totality of it, and Craig's been trying to do that, we won 92 games and that's a really good season. Sure, if you look at it that way, I can agree that winning 92 games is a big deal with the third best record in baseball or something like that, fourth best record in baseball, even though they were a wild card team. Cool. Like that's all cool. But in the moments when we questioned the Cubs, and there was a lot of questioning of the Cubs in the Padres series and this series with the Brewers, it still leaves, I think, a lot of Cub fans being like, I don't know how I felt about this season. And I would have felt a lot better had they won game five.
Yeah, you would have felt better and found yourself in an NLCS. And first and foremost, I'm bummed that like the local baseball season is over.
We got 3 extra weeks out of it, though.
We sure did. And so that was fun. October baseball was fun. And it was, you know, on the whole, a good season, a compelling season, an interesting season, often fun. And the organization's in a very healthy place. And next year should be competitive and all of that. But they're not good enough to beat these other teams in the postseason. When it becomes about having great swing and miss pitchers, they don't have enough. When it becomes about having enough power and enough slug to win solo home run festivals, they have not had enough in this small sample of the postseason.
Is that like the pitchfork?
Yeah, oh man. It's a good time.
The solo home run festival?
Can't believe they had R. Kelly play one year.
Wow. That's right. He did.
He played pitchfork one year, man. They were like,
Was that the Trapped in the Closet days?
I think it was.
Jeez.
But I found myself watching this and thinking.
Trapped in a jail cell.
They are, in that series and in that game, they were short. They were short a couple things. One is the pitching, like I just referenced. And maybe if they'd had Cade Horton healthy, do they win that series? Cade Horton instead of Colin Ray? Cade Horton possibly instead of Shota for one of those usages? The way that you change things up. Because having Jacob Mizorowski instead of using Quinn Priester those two times.
He's a fun dude to watch, man.
I mean, like, they had more. And they had Chad Patrick, who, like, you know, was getting swing and miss.
It's a made-up guy.
Right. But they had him, you know? So, like, you're a little short there. And if you're not going to have enough of that, then you got to have enough of the slug, right? Here's what I found myself thinking, Lawrence. If they have Alex Bregman, do they win that series?
Okay, I'll go deeper with that question. If they have Alex Bregman, do they win the division?
Maybe. Could be. But, like, if 8-9 is PCA and Swanson and Bregman's up in there ahead of Hap, and
if Bregman's hitting 5.
3-4-5 is Seiya, Tucker, and Bregman the other night. if Bregman is getting some of these at bats, it's like I found myself thinking, boy, they're just a little short. And I think they're short on either side. Because if you're not going to have quite that much hitting and slugging stars, then you better make sure you got enough swing and miss pitching. And they didn't have quite enough of that. So you got to have one or the other, and they didn't quite have enough of one or the other. And that's what I find myself left with here today. And there's lots of off-season to think about what to do and everything. But as we're putting that season to bed, that's what I ended up thinking about.
As the game was moving on, and it was moving pretty quickly Saturday, I was like, oh, yeah. You had the feeling that it wasn't going to happen for them. And you just went, oh, look at some of the things, like some of the weird little things that happened inside the game. It didn't feel like something that they were going to overcome.
It didn't feel like that.
Were there. What did it feel like there?
It didn't feel like they were going to overcome it, sadly. Look, as much as Council talked about all series long, got to put pressure on the other team's pitchers, put pressure on them every inning. Pressure was maybe we'll homer this inning. And that's kind of how that game played out. Do you know how many at-bats they had all series long with men in scoring position? All series long, how many at-bats do they have?
Runners in scoring, I'm going to say six.
Seven. That's crazy low. Dude, that is crazy low for a five-game series. People weren't getting on base. People weren't getting into scoring position. And this is where I differ from a lot of other baseball people. I want more Nikos, man. I want more contact. I want more dudes who are putting pressure on by putting the ball in play.
Well, I thought that was one thing where I was like, you know, you could have put some pressure on them when you did have runners on first and second. You could have started your run game a little bit, and I felt like Craig was like, oh, I'm gonna trust Kyle Tucker.
But it was Bush as the lead runner. It's Bush and Nico with 3, 4, 5 coming up. There was a double steal the night before, the game before. So I don't love it.
I wanted that runner at third, but that's something that we can get to later on.
But I feel in terms of like lineup composition, like, and I know Nico doesn't, if he doesn't hit 300, then his on base isn't as high as you want it. But I just dudes who put the ball in play, dudes who put pressure on the opposition, and
guys who hit line drives,
guys who hit freaking line drives,
laser beams,
pew, and pew, there's pew. Just. There's not that many of them. There's not that many of them around the league, you know? But I want more guys like that.
At 3 o'clock, we are going to talk about the thing that a lot of people are discussing, and that's that L flag. We will discuss that in Spiegs' time in Milwaukee. When we come back, Kurt Warner is going to preview Bears Commanders next here on The Score.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf, maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor, because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
Kurt Warner's hair is on fire in this booth.
I'm not normally speechless, but I'm trying to figure this out.
You can't be speechless, Kurt, right? You know what I mean? Like,
you're in the monologue.
I want to hear it. Wow. And the Brits are wondering what is happening in London. And so are the American announcers. And that is halftime.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
Trevor Lawrence, a touchdown run! And a 2-point Jacksonville lead! With the extra point coming up.
I told you, Kevin, strange things happen when there's a harvest supermoon.
Because I'm still in love with you on this harvest moon.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
That's pleasant.
Isn't it? The moon's been lovely lately. Now the music's lovely.
Yeah.
Maybe the football will be lovely tonight.
That would be great, because I think we could all use it. Wouldn't that make everyone just feel better?
I started, Lawrence, thinking about if they do pull this one out tonight, the Bears.
Yeah.
And next week's a home game against New Orleans.
Yeah, they're not good.
So I'm like, oh, 4-2. That would feel a little different.
The Spencer Rattler revenge game?
Oh, that storyline. That's fun as hell. Got Lincoln Riley out here. Get him with a picture of him in the middle with Spencer and Caleb.
You know, he's got other things to worry about this weekend. But, yeah. Right. Notre Dame, right? Isn't USC Notre Dame this week? Yeah. So he's got other things.
He's busy.
But.
Yes.
Next week, come on through.
Yeah, come on through.
Come on, you just stay here.
There you go.
We just have the whole program move here for a week.
You heard some of Kurt Warner and Rich Eisen doing, was it the 15th game in Europe so far this season?
It's too many games in Europe.
Three weeks in a row?
And I mean, well, and they're going to keep going, right? Because Yeah, there's games in Germany, and yeah, they're not done.
My God.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the old commish said? Like, ideally, it's one game a week is overseas.
These ravenous NFL owners. When they split up the world and played their own game of Risk and gave Stan Kroenke China, they really meant it. They really meant it. Like, here, you get this part of the world. You get this part of the world. Here you go.
Yeah, Rams-Jaguars, I believe, is the first game out the chute Sunday morning.
Wow. It's too much, man.
It's too much.
It's like, when am I supposed to go to the pumpkin patch? When am I supposed to do that?
I mean, Sunday would have been ideal for that.
It's gorgeous out. It was a perfect pumpkin patch weather. Really good marathon weather. It's really what it was.
Congratulations. Like, I've seen people over the last like 20 hours that have finished the marathon, like wearing their medals and people enjoying Chicago. Like, it's a really beautiful thing to see.
I agree.
I don't partake in the pumpkin patch.
Olin, we know.
But Olin's wife, Wendy, did partake in the marathon.
Oh, that's right. She did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's a beautiful civic pride day.
It is.
The marathon day, like you're around town. I like to try and drive around because I'm crazy like that. I like to look at the map of all the street closings and try to navigate it. I feel like I go next level Chicagoan when I can successfully get that done.
You're like right in the middle of it, though.
It's true. Oh, dude, we had
outside your door.
We had brunch at Avli yesterday. Avli on the park here right behind us, having left our home in the South Loop. How do you do that on marathon day? Well, let me tell you. No, I won't. But anyway, I got it done. I was really enjoying it.
Batcave?
No, I should have. Should have done the Batcave going back.
Yeah, because it was open yesterday.
But it wouldn't even work. It wouldn't even work. But anyway.
Why wouldn't it work?
Because Michigan's still cut off there. When it lets you out of 14th or whatever, Michigan's still cut off. I could have gone past.
Go down Indiana. Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, but I got to go Indiana all the way past 18th and then come over.
You got to come over.
Yes. I had it figured. Don't you worry.
I just stay south. Like, that's my whole goal of marathon day is I'll just stay south, see what's going on.
But so, like, there was a lot going on yesterday. I didn't watch a lot of Justin Fields getting sacked 9 times in real time against the Broncos. And that young man is in a mess that seems to be even worse than the mess it was here.
Yep.
And
I think that he had done actually a pretty decent job of rehabilitating his standing in his career after the year, even as a backup in Pittsburgh. It's going to be really hard for anyone to believe in him watching what's going on. And it all started out so great. Like, the first game he played was great. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. But watching that game, I was on the elliptical yesterday. I was like, ordinarily I do music, but I'm like, oh, my guy Kurt's on the call. Like, and I'm watching Justin Fields, and I'm like, ooh. This is ugly.
Regression, it seems like, for him, because as you watched all those highlights and watched condensed, which is what I ended up doing, it's like he looks like he's holding the ball too long in addition to the offensive line being bad and like all the same conversations we had then
and
they're having now.
And he won't just leave the pocket. Like, he's trying hard to be like, oh, I can't leave the pocket.
Can't do it. Can't
now
do
I'm
it.
Sacked. Now I'm sacked. But it was like... What happened with Aaron Glenn and that game, and we made reference to it inside of the open, the fact that he called a fake punt. The fake punt was successful, and then they went in the tank and just were like, oh, well, we'll run the ball out and run the half out here. It was honestly like a fireable moment. If I'm looking at Aaron Glenn and I'm being straight up about him as a head coach,
really,
I felt like that was a moment where you go, ooh, he's not the guy.
Well, in football parlance, the double up where you get to score at the end of the first half and you also are the team receiving the ball to begin the second half is a great thing to aspire to.
It's why you defer.
Sure. And it's a great thing to strategize for, all of that. But when you're strategizing for that and then you're like, you know what? Just to make sure I have the last possession and the first possession, I'm going to go ahead and concede the possibility for points just to keep the other team from having the possession, then you've gone too far. You've officially gone too far with this strategy of the double up. And that it looked like Aaron Glenn got up in his own head about that concept. Like, let's take our time. Let's do our thing. And then should we try and score? No, you know what? It's all right. So we didn't score. At least we kept our half of it. And some of those players were absolutely losing their minds.
As they should have been. And let me just break this down for you, okay, so you understand. So they're inside the two-minute warning, okay? And they fall short. And there's a timeout before the fourth down. They go into pump formation. So they've called a timeout. They set up the fake. Breece Hall runs the fake up the middle, gets them what they need. Then they call another timeout, the second one. So they got one left. First and 10, after you convert a fake punt in deep in your own territory, first and 10, Breece Hall up the middle for 5 yards.
Yeah.
And now you're just letting the clock run. Then you're in this weird hurry up. Fields gets sacked.
He gets sacked. And now it's third down.
Third and 7, and you have a route that doesn't go to the sticks.
And you end up with fourth and 1, and they just let the clock go and expire.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You talk about the antithesis of really good clock management. Like, we've been talking about Ben Johnson and the way that he's been able to run four-minute offense for the Bears over the last couple of weeks. And you see that play out. You go, ooh. Ooh, who is helping you, sir?
And that's what made Kurt Warner speechless.
Yeah. That speechlessness
continues.
He's still
without speech.
Yeah.
It remains.
It continues to this day.
Tell you what, Jets clock management got Kurt Warner tongue-tied. Yeah.
Wow. I know we were playing the hits today.
Energy, 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 play the hits. You know that. So
tease.
I just at some point, Justin's got to look around and go, oh, no, am I the common element here?
Yes.
Am I the thing that, because it's not just him, of course, but he's a factor in why that thing turns ugly.
I just out of all the places that you would have talked about for him, that's the
worst. You knew it.
Place.
You said it. You said it, too. I mean, it's the only place with a worse quarterback history and incubation system than Chicago.
He theoretically could have stayed in Pittsburgh and could have hung out and learned from Aaron Rodgers. He could have gone to San Francisco. He could have gone to Minnesota. There are a lot. He could have gone to the Colts and competed and maybe won the job.
Yeah.
Now Daniel Jones is an MVP candidate, by the way. This was the worst choice.
Did you see who scored the touchdown for Tampa Bay yesterday? Was it Tez Franklin? Is that his name?
Yeah, and he thought the MVP chance were for him.
That's amazing. Like, imagine being that kid. You score a touchdown, like, wow, they're chanting MVP. I really haven't had that good a year.
They love me here. They love me here in Tampa.
That's for Baker Mayfield.
You know, that Tez factor that I called the other day, or that Tez effect.
Oh, the Tez effect.
He's a multiplier.
He is. Tez Franklin's a multiplier. But, man, that is some special. I mean, I guess at least he had the thought. It's not like I've been that good, but he did have the thought. Those are for me. Look at me. Look at the play that I made.
Would you like some numbers on Baker Mayfield?
He's been phenomenal.
He has thrown for 1,539 yards, 12 touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah, man.
A QB.
I mean, honestly, that's like kind of just fun with numbers.
It is, Craig. It is.
Getting me sad again.
It is fun with numbers.
Yeah.
But in his last five games, his rating is 111.5. GCI. Wow. He has done an incredible job, and he has the most touchdown passes of any quarterback in the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable.
I'm so happy for him.
He's found a spot and a comfort level and all that.
The game needs characters like Baker Mayfield in it, and guys that are, even at the quarterback position, are a little, you know, got a little edge to him.
Yeah.
And I like that he's got an edge to him. I like that he's back doing national commercials again.
Hey, man, speaking of New York football, they think they might have that guy with Jackson Dart. It's awfully early and awfully soon.
That stuff with Jackson Dart and Cam Scatterboo is going to be fun until it's not fun. And I think it's going to not be fun soon.
Until it's inactive QB and RB.
Yeah. It's going to be real fun until their headbutts have them both concussed, like what happened yesterday before the Colts game, where you just have guys just running into guys.
Well, that was based on an exercise band, wasn't it?
Yep.
You can't have that.
No.
But, I felt bad for Justin as that thing played out. But then, all right, it was a good day for the Red Zone channel yesterday, and then a couple fun primetime viewing things, although just baseball of any kind makes me a little bit sad still. I got to get over that and get past that and get through that.
Well, let's find out. Forget about sad. Let's talk about angry for a minute.
Whoop.
Because I think there's a lot of anger inside of Cubs fandom that I think is finally getting people pointed in the right direction, even if it's for the wrong reason. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.